The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning to you, sir. How is the weather in Israel today?
Good tov. Yeah, very sunny, quite cool weather. It looks like it's going to be a clear day, a nice typical sort of dry winter's day. I mean, obviously the winter season in Israel is the time that we expect to see rain. We have had some rain. There's some rain also forecast, but nowhere near enough rain yet to satisfy our water needs. But today looks like it's going to shape up to be a nice, relatively warm, I think, sunny wintry day at least. Unfortunately, the situation with COVID is not particularly good. We reached a new record on Tuesday, 12,500 daily diagnoses, people diagnosed during the course of one day. That was a record during the entire period of the pandemic, and the expectation is that that record will be surpassed even further. The number of serious cases has risen quite noticeably, whereas before we had, I think, 85 serious cases hospitalized in Israeli hospitals. Now that number has risen to about 125, so quite a noticeable increase. And there is this lack of knowledge, I think, about whether this means we're going to see another dramatic rise in the number of serious cases. But one of the areas where, unfortunately, we've found a weakness is in the testing system, because there are so many people at the moment needing to be tested that there just simply aren't enough tests going around, enough tests available, PCR tests in particular. So new rules have come out to say that certain people do not require to have a PCR test, and they're trying to preserve PCR tests only for the highest risk people, those who really, really need it. Many people are being directed to do the rapid tests, the antigen tests, either at home or in a supervised manner. There are locations that you can attend to have a supervised antigen test, and that's being relied upon to some degree, even though it's proven itself to be less accurate. But the testing system definitely taking a bit of strain at the moment. So I think the next week or two is going to prove to be very, very important in this fight against the Omicron variant.
Sure. It's just amazing how the figures around the world are skyrocketing once again. But with it comes that bit of hope that we're not seeing the severity of the cases that we saw with the original variant, the beta variant, and the delta variant. So we can just hope that we can maintain this trajectory of the symptoms becoming less, the trauma becoming less, the hospitalizations less than what we saw in previous waves. Our thoughts are with the people there. But it's something that is a worldwide pandemic, and we can really just hope that the technology comes in and we can eliminate this during 2022. Another thing that we can't seem to eliminate is the ongoing tensions on the borders with Syria and others. And it seems like there was an issue yesterday when Israeli tanks had to fire towards Syrian positions in the Golan Heights. What gave rise to the Israelis having to have this preemptive type attack?
So we already know that the tensions along the Syrian border are high. And the reason that tensions along the Syrian border are high are really for two reasons. First of all, because there is a constant threat of infiltration, mostly by Syrian-backed forces from the Syrian side of the Golan Heights. And also the tensions are high along that border because Iran is attempting becoming more and more entrenched in southern Syria, and Israel considers that to be a threat to its security, to have more Iranian presence, more Iranian hardware, Iranian troops, Iranian activities in general. There seems to just be a general increase in the presence that we see of Iranian troops and hardware in that area. So we do have quite intensive patrols along Israel's northern border, lots and lots of intelligence work going on in order to try to understand what's going on the Syrian side of the border. And yesterday, IDF tanks were deployed to fire towards positions on the east side of the Israel-Syria border. And the tank fire was directed towards suspects who were seen near the border. And the fear was that there was activity going on the Syrian side of the border to attempt once again to infiltrate Israel across the border. So the Israeli defense forces decided to take preemptive action and to fire towards the movements that they saw of those suspects along the Syrian side of the border. We understand that there were no injuries reported during the course of this incident, not on our side of the border, and apparently also not on the Syrian side of the border. But we understand that the IDF has deployed more troops in that area in anticipation of further attempts to infiltrate the border, including ground forces and including aircraft patrols, which have been increased on the Israeli side in order to try somehow to prevent any infiltrations from the Syrian border. It's considered to be a major threat to Israel's security if people are able to come through the border. And it's quite a tough job in the Golan Heights to police that border to the extent that we would like to. Israel deploys not only people, ground forces along the border itself in terms of patrols, but has a whole network of cameras that are set up along the border and teams of camera watchers, people who sit watching screens, who have to be rotated every so often in order to make sure that they can maintain their concentration, that no small incident could be missed by watching those cameras. The cameras are all a great idea until you consider the number of people who have to be employed in order to keep check on all the movements that are happening surrounding those cameras. So all of that work continues in the hope that we can somehow keep the border secure.
I remember in one of our stories you and I chatted about last week or the week before, they were looking for an extension of the settlements and they were looking for employment there. So perhaps it can become a training facility for control room operators the world over, seeing that they've got these massive banks of cameras that need to be monitored. Just trying to find a solution to the unemployment issue in that area.
These cameras are mostly monitored by IDF soldiers, so they have teams of soldiers who are specifically trained in order to monitor those screens, and they have special locations where the screens are set up in order to monitor cameras, both on the northern border and on the southern border. So this is almost like a specialized job that IDF soldiers are given in order to sit. It's a thankless task, sitting and observing screens in order to make sure that nothing at all gets missed, because, as I've said before, it's all fine and well to have cameras and to be able to see what's going on. It's entirely another job to make sure that you actually keep watch on those screens in order to make them as useful as possible.
One of the reasons why Israel is the security leader in the world when it comes to technology, especially in the field of camera technology and other detection. We want to talk about this controversial electricity bill that was passed by the Knesset yesterday. Before we get to the details of the bill, tell us why, and just remind us about the controversy relating to this.
So this is a bill that was introduced by the government with the support particularly of the United Arab List, who initiated the bill. And the controversy is as follows. In Israel, the rule is that when a new home is built, that it is not allowed, or at least up until now, the home was not allowed to be connected to the electricity supply until such time as the building committee has signed off the home as having been constructed according to the permit that was granted by the planning committee, the building committee, the relevant planning committee in that local area. So one might find a piece of land within a city or even outside of a city. You are then obliged to go to the planning committee to get planning permission in order to construct whatever it is that you want to construct there. Your plans need to be submitted and they need to be approved. Once they have been approved, you go ahead and you build your house or your property, whatever it is, and then you're obliged to invite an inspector from the planning committee to return to the house to ensure that it has been constructed according to the authorization that was granted. And the Israeli electricity company has been instructed not to switch the electricity for that particular property on, not to allow any electricity to flow to their property until they have the approval from the planning committee in their hands to say that it has been inspected and it has been approved as having been constructed according to the authorizations that were given. That was the law up until yesterday. The problem that has been experienced up until now is that many properties, particularly in the Arab sector, outside of the main cities, have been constructed either without any planning permission at all to begin with, because, of course, all of that costs a lot of money, and it's a very, very tedious process to go through, or alternatively, having received planning permission without actually having received the inspections required, and therefore the authorization from the inspectors to say the property is being constructed according to the rules, and therefore the electricity has not been allowed to flow to those properties as a result of the lack of authorization. Now, what's the advantage, the potential advantage? The potential advantage is that all the time that the property hasn't been approved by the planning inspector, the inhabitants of that property, or the property, if they aren't inhabitants, whatever, the owner of the property is not obliged to pay municipal tax for that particular property. And therein lies a little bit of a loophole, because in the Arab sector, it has been quite a common trend not to get the ultimate authorization from the inspector, forego the right to electricity, and somehow use some sort of a workaround solution to bring electricity to the property and avoid the requirement to pay municipal tax, which can be quite a pricey business in Israel, where municipal taxes can be quite high depending on where you live. So now the Arab United Arab List initiated a bill through Parliament in order to somehow try to regularize all those properties that have yet to receive direct electricity supply, to force the Israel Electricity Company to provide them with electricity, even though they have yet to receive formal authorization from the planning inspector. Now, the little lever that's been used in order to make this happen and to push it through the Knesset is that the United Arab List has alleged that there is a certain level of discrimination against Arab citizens, particularly those who are constructing properties outside of the cities, that apparently they claim that there is a certain what they call that there's a certain level of discrimination against giving them planning permission in the first place. Now, I think we need to take all of this with a pinch of salt, because this is effectively an attempt to try to say that Jews are given preferential rights to build properties in certain areas over Arabs, and therefore by withdrawing the right to electricity, you're effectively perpetuating that discrimination even further, and hence this Knesset has effectively been levered into passing this law that will allow electricity to flow to those properties even when they haven't been fully inspected and signed off. I think we need to understand both sides of this particular coin. I think that there's a little bit of each going on. There may well be some discrimination on the part of certain local authorities against Arabs who wish to build properties. It's hard for me to deny that that's happening, especially when I don't really know for sure. But if this allegation has been brought, I guess it's worthy of investigation. But I certainly know that there has been a type of a traditional way of trying to avoid municipal tax by simply not getting the relevant authorization from the planning inspector, and therefore not getting electricity. And what they've done is they've simply piped electricity in from nearby areas, connected it all illegally in order for those properties to have an electricity supply, even though it's all very informally done. So this bill that passed through the Knesset yesterday was highly controversial. Lots of screaming and shouting and accusations between the various parties. Eventually the opposition walked out completely, didn't vote in the bill, which was passed by 61-0. So even if all of the opposition opposition members had voted, they wouldn't have been able to stop the passage of this bill. And I guess that's why they decided to indicate it by this protest of walking out and not voting at all. But once again, it's just a little uncomfortable because instead of saying to local authorities, you are not allowed to discriminate against Arab people, Arab citizens who wish to build properties, which is really the right way to deal with this, if indeed that discrimination exists. They've instead said, well, if there is discrimination and if you guys go ahead and build a property without authorization, you're allowed to get electricity, which I think is kind of a sticking plaster over the wound, really.
With just 2 minutes to go till the news, we have a very important story. Defense Minister Benny Gantz met yesterday with Jordan's King Abdullah. Can you summarize the agenda for us?
Yeah, so it's interesting that Benny Gantz is becoming like a diplomat in the local region. He is the defense minister, not the foreign minister, and yet he's the one who's being sent to hold important meetings with senior members of areas around Israel, including the Palestinian Authority and now King Abdullah of Jordan, where they met yesterday in Amman. Apparently, the agenda was really about security and issues relating to security between the two countries. The defense minister, Benny Gantz, has met previously with King Abdullah, but I think it's noticeable that on this particular occasion, both Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and indeed President Isaac Herzog have all met with King Abdullah in the past. So obviously that relationship is very, very important on various different levels to the Israeli government. It is all very done quite secretly because it's a little sensitive. Apparently the Jordanians, as a general rule, don't like the fact that the king is meeting with senior Israeli politicians. They still feel a little bit sensitive about this, but clearly there is work going on at a very senior level between the Israeli government and the Jordanian government, the king in particular, to work on maintaining regional peace and stability and security.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always for the Israel Report. I'll be chatting to you on Monday, and then Howard will be back in the hot seat with you on Tuesday. Thank you so much, and a good Shabbos from us.
Shabbat Shalom.